This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, which was first aired on January the 8th, 1962, is known as Keeper of the Flame. It was written by Jack Ellenson and Charles Stewart and directed by Bob Sweeney. This episode opens up with, you see a close-up of Opie with his right arm raised. He's being sworn into a kids' club called the Wildcats. And what you see here are basically four kids around hiding in a barn somewhere. Now, one of the things I want you to realize is that one of the members of the club is a child actor by the name of Terry Dickinson. If Dickinson looks familiar to you, it's because he appears in another episode as Sheldon the Bully in the episode Opie and the Bully. So, again, look out for that. Again, that's Terry Dickinson who appears as Sheldon the Bully in the Opie and the Bully episode. But anyway, they're in Jubal Foster's barn, and they're being sworn to secrecy, and if you break the code of secrecy, you'll get the curse of the claw. And so there's a cute scene where Opie comes into the courthouse to tell his pa he's got something he's doing, but he can't tell him, and everything is, well, I can't tell you, and Barney and Andy just get a big laugh about it. And so the kids are in the barn, and Jubal comes and runs the kids out, and Jubal then goes and complains to Andy about kids being in his barn. And while he's in there, he sees Opie, and he recognizes Opie, and he says that's one of them, calls him a brat. Andy gets mad and pretty much sends him out. And one of the things you see in this episode is Andy gets a little bit perturbed at one of the townspersons. You don't see that often. I mean, really perturbed. And who wouldn't if someone calls your kid a brat? Well, in a later scene, the kids go back out there. Jubal catches them again. And he's muttering to himself when he's walking around the barn. And here we discover that Jubal has a still. And as he's working around the barn, he accidentally sets fire to the barn. It burns down. And so you see Andy and Barney are called out to the house. And basically, without saying it, so it's a flat-out lie, Jubal indirectly states to Andy and Barney that the kids started the fire. And of course, the obvious reasons he wants to do that, he wants to take the blame, he wants to get paid for all the stuff that was in there. Again, Jubal tells Andy that he saw one of those boys at his house, at the courthouse the other day, and Andy's like, no, that's my son Opie, and he's too young to be messing with fire. Well, next we see Aunt Bee up in Opie's room, and she's basically making up this bed, and she discovers a little box, and inside the box are matches and candles. She shows it to Andy down in the kitchen. Andy calls Opie in, and he asks Opie what this is, and Opie fibs at first, says he wants to have light when he goes out at night, and Andy says, you know you're not allowed to go out at night, and then basically Opie won't tell because, again, in the Wildcat Club, you're not supposed to tell. So, again, you see a little bit of loyalty here to the club, but you also see a kid, unlike Opie, who won't tell his pa everything. So again, it's a nice little conflict, sort of a moral ethical dilemma for Opie at this young age. Next, we see a very touching bedtime scene, and I like these scenes between Andy and Opie, where Andy basically tells Opie he's going to have to pay for the barn, and Opie again says, I didn't start that fire out there. But what I like about this scene is, again, the way the writers have Andy dealing with Opie. Andy talks to Opie in a way so that Opie is not forced to break his club rules, you know, and have to face the curse of the claw. And so, again, Andy cares about what Opie is going through, but he also thinks at this point that he's going to have to go pay for the barn. So Andy drives out to Jubal Foster's farm, and again, he's aggravated. He's asking Jubal how much it's going to cost to pay for the barn. And then Jubal's like, so you're going to admit your son did this? And he says, no, I'm not saying that. And Barney tells him, you don't be so happy about it. And so what you see here is Jubal keeps, as Andy pulls out his checkbook, Jubal keeps raising the price of how much everything is going to cost. And so Andy's going to pay for it. And while this is going on, Barney, it's a hot day, so Barney walks around the side of the barn. He sees a bucket sitting outside. You know, and today probably not many people would even reach in a bucket and drink something out of it. Barney does, and you start. This is a great scene. We see Barney's facial expressions. What he finds is basically moonshine in the bucket accidentally. So what happens is Barney goes into the barn and investigates it, and the next time we see Barney, you can tell that he's a little bit intoxicated.
What is it, Barney?
Hi. Let me tell you something.
You're trying to what?
I'm trying to tell you something that's very important.
Wait a minute. Maybe you won't have to tell me. Just a minute. Jubal Foster, you're under arrest.
Huh? What for?
Running still and setting fire to your own barn.
Still? You must be crazy.
Jubal.
Look, I told you about them kids. I mean, what still?
Jubal.
Jubal, 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 Jubal. Jubal.
And after this scene, Andy's and Barney are escorting Jubal back to the squad car, and I love this scene, but Barney is so intoxicated that it ends up, you have to put Barney in the middle, and Jubal and Andy are escorting Barney back to the squad car because he's walking so crooked. And then finally, at the end of the final scene, we see Andy talking to Opie and basically giving one of his stories again from his childhood, where he talks about where Andy said that he used to be the keeper of the flame, and he got in trouble, and his dad gave him a whipping. And so what his dad did was something that Andy's getting ready to do for Opie. He's going to modernize the club. Again, I like the way he presented that. Modernize the club by giving Opie a flashlight so that they don't have to play with fire. And I love the way this episode ends. And I hope television episodes really won't cut this out. But as he leaves, Opie's looking at the flashlight. And by the way, this is one of these old looking flashlights, and I love old gadgets like this. Opie looks at the flashlight, and he goes, "He ain't so dumb," which again captures the fact that many kids think they can pull things over their parents, but Opie's smart enough to know that his dad really knows what's going on and just not forcing him to do anything. So again, there's drama in this episode, there's humor, and again, it's just another good episode of The Andy Griffith Show. Now, the trivia question for this episode is, I think, really tough, but I think it's a neat trivia question. But before I even get into that, let me talk about some of the characters on this show. The person who plays Jubal Foster, have you ever wondered where they got the name Jubal? I would like to know that, so if any of you listeners know, let me know. But Jubal Foster was played by Everett Sloan. Some of you may recognize Sloan. He was a member of Orson Welles' legendary Mercury Players in the 1930s and 40s, and he appeared in what is considered by many people the greatest movie of all time, Citizen Kane. And I have that movie, and I love watching that movie. And he later appeared in Everett Sloan appeared in another movie called Lust for Life. So you had an accomplished actor again appearing on The Andy Griffith Show. So anyway, let's get to our trivia question. I think this is really a tough trivia question. We always hear at the beginning of the episode, at the end of the episode, the theme song to The Andy Griffith Show. Who wrote the words or lyrics to the Andy Griffith Show theme song? Now, you got to think about this. Why would I be asking that at this particular point? There's a hint in this particular episode. Who wrote the words or the lyrics to the Andy Griffith Show theme song? Now, we never hear those on the Andy Griffith Show, but you can certainly buy CDs nowadays or download MP3s that certainly have it. You can get those with Andy Griffith singing those as well. So again, who wrote the words or the lyrics to the Andy Griffith Show theme song? If you'd like to take a guess at that, be sure and email me at burkek@etsu.edu, or you can go to my website, burkeonmayberry.com, and you'll see the episode Keeper of the Flame, and right beside it in parentheses, you'll see the answer to this particular trivia question. If you have any other questions or comments about Burke on Mayberry, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek@etsu.edu, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry.